I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Shots on goal on this power play. Some strong saves by Binnington. Now right back with it is Krug. Hermes it across. Krejci, putting it in through. Binnington holds on and plays stop with 8 seconds left. On the kill.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Comes on back now to Petrangelo. Petrangelo holding. Got it to Bouwmeester. Shoots one. Score! Bouwmeester! It was deflected in front by O'Reilly, and it becomes 1-0. The Blues with the lead.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
10 seconds to go. The longest wait for a first title any team in this league has had. For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon.
Ah, that Gloria feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't that feel good? Injected into my veins.
Has it been on like a 24-hour loop in some St. Louis station somewhere?
I think my favorite video I've seen so far is a guy that was driving home last night, and I don't know if he knew or was a hockey fan or realized what was going on, but he drove through this like mosh pit of a party, and a bunch of people jumped up on top of his car, and they were like dancing around on the top of his car, and he just was just driving along the road. Like,
did he find anybody?
No, he didn't even get out. He was kind of smiling and laughing about it, and there was like four drunk Blues fans that were like, woo, screaming on top of his car.
It's like when Chevy Chase has to pull over in right. Vacation, and Loses he goes into the ghetto.
Loses a couple hubcaps in the process.
Roll them up.
His old car's just destroyed once they go inside.
As he's asking for directions to get out of St. Louis or wherever he was.
Yeah, you really are emotionally attached. Like, you care that much?
I love underdog stories. Like, they've never won one. It's been, what, 51 years or 52 years, whatever, that they've been an organization. They hadn't been to a cup final in four decades. So, like, to have that, a team that always disappoints, it's almost like watching the Cavs win the finals for the first time. Like, that was cool when you got a chance. Like, Cleveland, they're known for sucking. And I know they have the Cardinals, so it's slightly different, but they lost their NFL team. And the Blues have always disappointed. And the cherry on top was that it was Boston. Like, if this was, I don't know.
It was the Lightning.
The Lightning. Nah. You know, probably not quite as intense of a feeling for me. But the fact that it was Boston with a chance to win three of the four major championships in 1 year, that was all the rooting interest that I needed.
Yeah, with Cleveland, if LeBron wasn't a Cav, I don't know if I really care that much.
You wouldn't have cared, like, if it was just the city of Cleveland getting a championship after all those years?
No.
Really?
I mean, I'd be like, oh, that was cool, but yeah.
Yeah, see,
if it's not my city, why I've never even been there, so I don't know. I see where you're coming from.
It's an underdog thing.
I need more than that, though. I need a player. I need a coach. I need something to draw me in more than just the underdog thing. Cause then if I don't live there, I'm just like, well, that's cool for those people. What do I get out of that?
Yeah. I love the underdog. That's why Toronto was an awesome story to me this year. Like they've never been to an NBA finals before. They're experiencing this for the first time. And I think as a fan, if you're a diehard fan of a team in your city, you can relate to it. Like Portland, I know Portland has a championship in the NBA, but it's basically,
it feels
don't,
like
right?
we don't. Yeah.
It's been 42 years. Next year will be 43. Like, it's been a long time.
We have more listeners that haven't seen a championship, in my opinion, than have saw a championship.
Exactly. And I would hope, like, just watching other cities get a chance to go through that and the celebration, it just, to me, it's much more sweeter watching somebody do it for the first time or the first time in a long time. Because you have some, like Portland, if they win one next year, for most people, that's their first championship they'll ever be able to witness. So especially when you're going against either a team or a city that has multiple and they don't need any more, Like Boston is that way. The Bruins have won a cup in the last decade.
They're an original six team, right? I mean, for crying out loud. They got six of them or seven of them or whatever.
Yeah, so that is the rooting interest I usually look for.
Somebody texts, hates underdogs and farting, standard bummer Brandon. I didn't know I said I hated underdogs, but all right, we're off to a great start this Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, what's your beef with underdogs, man?
I didn't watch that till the third period, full disclosure.
It's all right.
Well, the first period was the best period.
First period was awesome.
Because I saw on Twitter.
Were peppering Biddington, who was standing on his head.
Yeah, the Bruins dominated the first period. Outside, there was like a two-minute jump off the start. St. Louis looked good. And then Boston settled in, and it should have been maybe 3-0. That's how many good looks they had, and Biddington stopped all of them.
I kind of felt like once it was 2-0, St. Louis was too locked in to lose that game. And this is coming from a guy who didn't watch them go up 2-0. I just saw on Twitter they were up 2-0.
Right.
Well, Biddington was locked in, but you didn't know if St. Louis was going to take more penalties. That was the amazing thing. They only had that one penalty early in the game, and then they stayed out of the box.
Right. They were smart about that because they've had some dumb penalties throughout the series.
Yeah, somebody says, were you not excited for the Cubs? I think there's a big difference, and I need to state this.
Well, the Cubs were also playing the Indians.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had dueling.
Somebody was going to break a long drought.
Right.
You had dueling droughts there, and I was polling for the Indians.
See, my thing is, I can think things are cool that I see. Like, telling people I saw the Cubs win their first World Series in 100 years, that's a cool thing. I don't get a lot. They're not my team. I don't have a player on that team that I really cared about.
Well, Toronto and Golden State aren't your teams. So, do you not care who wins?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah.
I always find a rooting interest in championships.
I think if you asked me, I picked Golden State to win the series, but I'd prefer Toronto to win. Does it break my heart if they don't?
Well, no, breaking your heart might be too strong of it. Wouldn't have broken my heart if St. Louis would have lost last night.
But am I really jacked if they win? I don't think I care either.
Wow.
Wow. I watched that post game for a
long
time.
I need a little more
time
than that. If it's not my team, I need a little more than that.
Dead last in the league on January 3rd, they fired their coach.
But I didn't know any of this until that betting ticket existed. If that never happened, I don't even know if I know about that.
The goalie's a rookie who was fourth on the depth chart starting the season. He was stuck in the minor leagues.
You could list 9 more things, and I'd believe
and
that they were all
Layla
real.
And you got Layla kissing the cup with Colton Parayko.
And I cared the most about that. That was what I was most happy for was Layla. Little Layla got to go to that game.
Dump all over St. Louis today, man.
No, I'm happy for the city. I just think there's a difference between actually being excited and happy for a team and then going, oh, the team I wanted to win won. That's cool.
Yeah, I go into every championship like this. I can't watch a championship without creating a rooting interest in my mind.
Mm.
I don't like being an impartial observer of sports. That's not what sports is about for me.
But see, I think I'm more going the other way because I would say about, and this isn't a shot at you, I would just say me personally 4 years ago, I'm probably there with you. Like the underdog, I'm putting all my emotion into it. And now I'm at a point where I kind of just appreciate watching it. You know, I can go into something and say, yeah, well, I'm pulling for this team, but I can also watch the other team win and go, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, again.
And not really care either way.
It doesn't go into heartbreak. That's not the right word because you're never going to have heartbreak when it's not your team involved that's losing. I don't want Golden State to win. I'm rooting very hard for Toronto to win this NBA Finals because Golden State's won 3 of the last 4. I'm tired of them, and I want that dynasty to be over. There will be a respect factor, though, if they win. Oh, my God, KD didn't play. They didn't have Klay Thompson in a game. They should have lost game 5. It should have already be over, but now they're going back and they'd have to win 3 straight. There's a respect factor there. Holy smokes, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
But I have to root for somebody. See, I'm rooting for Toronto.
I didn't really have this for the Super Bowl. It's the same thing. I didn't really have it. If the Rams would have won, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Some Beavs got some rings. If they lost, Patriots are amazing.
Man, you're dead inside.
Oh, well, I've stated that many a time. I think that's pretty evident. Does anybody else have this? Nobody?
No,
I'm
are
all alone.
Dickard said, when I grow up, I want to be as cool as Sprague. Jordan said, Sprague is the sports radio version of the football player who just plays because it's a job. Just here to get a check. I'm going home.
I mean, it is nice to get a check to do this, but yeah, I can just sit on my couch with a cold beverage and just admire what I watch on television. I watched that third period and I thought, oh, they're going to win their first Stanley Cup. Yeah. This is cool.
51 years.
And then I saw Layla and I was like, oh, now that's awesome. Them winning? Yeah, cool. Layla Hooray. Kissing the cup?
Wow.
That was awesome.
Wow.
The last time I had a non team that I put a lot of emotion was probably the Eagles Super Bowl, because I thought it was really cool that Nick Foles was just this.
So that's an underdog story. You have no rooting interest for Philly.
Yeah, but I wanted to see Nick Foles specifically beat Tom Brady, because that's something I never would bet any money on. Yeah. And he went out and did it.
Yeah, I'll always root against Tom Brady. Like, I don't care who they're playing. Sure. Give me the other team.
Let's go!
I wanted the Rams to win. I wanted the Falcons to win.
But like the AFC title game, that was really an awesome scene. And I know New England won and many people didn't want them to, but
everybody was rooting for Kansas City outside of Patriots fans.
There's an element of watching a champion get dethroned and then a champion like defend the crown. And I appreciate watching it go both ways. Like, oh, they get knocked off tonight by the Raptors, for example. I'm going to go, well, Golden State had a hell of a run. They're still going to be back and be one of the favorites next year. And we'll see if they can get back to this type of run that they just had, or if this was it. Same thing with New England. Dude, let's see if Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, first-year starter, can really do this. They got the home game. Nope. Tom Brady to Gronk. Two third-down conversions, drive the field, get the game-winning score.
D4 lining up offsides, too.
Well, that, too. And then it's kind of like, wow, New England just will not die. There's an amazing respect that I have for that. Are you reading the text line?
A couple of people are agreeing with you. You got a couple. A couple. But it's the bulk that say they like to root for somebody. Somebody tried to draw the line and said it's kids. When you have kids, your rooting interests go away. But I don't buy that.
Oh, I don't know if it is kids, because my oldest is 7.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
And I wouldn't say that it's my kids that have done that. I just think it's maybe who I'm turning into. Of just, I do love sports as much as anybody else, and I'm starting to not really care about the team specifically.
I said, get off my lawn now.
Is that an old man thing? Because I would bet the text is younger than me telling me I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's a bit of an old man thing. Yeah. You know, you got to find some passion in your life, Sprague.
I do have passion in my life.
Not that I hope you didn't watch Chopped for the first two periods last night.
I didn't, actually. I went running. I went on a super long run. And then when I got in, it was like mid-second
that's
period.
Bush League.
That is, I said, Bush League, yeah. Third period will start in about 20 minutes. I'll start there.
Bush League.
And then I watched him cap it off.
Bummer Brandon having no fun.
All right, let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events you say, oh, I gotta go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We got a good show today. I have a really weird story I have to tell you guys.
Okay.
I was actually going to lead the show with it, but then I heard the intro and I said, they're gonna hijack this to hockey.
It's the Stanley Cup Final, baby.
Well, I actually had penciled it for 12:15.
Okay.
To see first-time champs. How cool that is for a city, I guess.
How many F-bombs were dropped on TV last night? Dude, there's a whole bunch of them.
One of my favorite moments. You talk about enjoying things. I really enjoyed whoever that was talking to that old white guy when he dropped the F-bomb.
Ryan O'Reilly?
Yeah.
And he apologized immediately. Immediately. Like, sorry, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm really jacked up right now.
I get it.
I think he became the first player in Stanley Cup Final history to score an opening goal in 4 straight games. I think I saw that stat.
Well, he's the only player that scored a goal in games 4, 5, 6, and 7 of a Cup Final.
God.
Like, Gretzky scored in 4 straight final games back in 85 with the Oilers, but not in the last, not 4, right, 5, right. 6, and 7.
Well, again, you guys could make up 9 more stats and I'd believe you. I don't know any of these stats.
That guy who won 100 grand last night was popping champagne.
That's what I was going to say was, I don't know if anybody was happier than that guy. What a bet he laid. How many rings did Gretzky get real quick?
They had 4 with the Oilers. He got to a Cup Final with Melrose and the Kings, but they lost, and I don't know if he ever got back. Did he ever get there with a rain? No.
I thought he won one with Messier.
Yeah, they won 4 together in Edmonton.
Oh, I thought he won one with the Rangers.
No.
94, so, whatever, 5, whatever that was.
So he finished with 4?
Let me see.
Are championships like a measuring stick for 4. Greatness?
Yep, he had 4.
Like if Sid the Kid gets 5, but it doesn't match him all statistically, is he considered better?
No, they don't do that in hockey same way.
His numbers will never be touched.
Well, I'm saying what if he gets like, kind of close, but he has more rings?
No. Because he's got the rings and the best numbers of all time, so there's not even a debate.
Right, so I'm saying if Sid beats the rings part, how big is that in hockey?
No.
It's not like the NBA.
That's like if somebody just was, happened to win more rings than Jerry Rice, but his numbers weren't in the same stratosphere, nobody would say he's a better wide receiver than Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is the GOAT because nobody's ever going to touch his numbers.
So the numbers in other sports, obviously much bigger than basketball, because basketball, it's really just rings.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, numbers go with, I mean, it's a dual equation sometimes, but yeah, the rings are the main factor in a sport like basketball. Mm. And for quarterbacks, really, too.
Well, we got a good show today. We got the Daily Ticker. We got somebody in the Bay Area. Vern Glenn of CBS Channel 5 down there is going to join us at 12:30, get his thoughts on Game 6. Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports, also radio.com, NFL insider. He's going to join us today at 1 o'clock. We'll talk some NFL with our good friend Jason LaConfora. We've got the opening week in college football lines. We'll kind of run down some of those. An Oregon preview came out, and the Auburn one was also out. Interesting little tidbits on that we want to talk about today at 1:30. Of course, we got crunch time. We'll get into Game 6 as well. And we've got Swag's bag of plums. Is it going to be magical? We'll find out at 2:15. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theater Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. It's going to be a good show. Happy Thursday. Thanks for tuning in on 1080 The Fan. Well, this is a conversation that I'm sure has happened somewhere. I don't know if we've ever had it. And a listener just put it on the Better You Today text line. By the way, open that thing up. A lot of really funny texts.
Yeah, they're off to a good start. Listeners are off to a good start today.
Somebody said Sprague needs to smoke a bowl. I did. I watched the game 7, third period, smoking a bowl, hanging out.
Hey, here we go.
I was calm. I was enjoying it. Watching little Layla celebrate. That was cool. No, somebody texted the Better You Today text line. Wayne Gretzky is the GOAT of all sports. Of all the GOATs you could assemble.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with
he
that.
He is the GOAT.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know. I mean...
So I was thinking about that, too, of not only that conversation. Like in basketball, I would say it's probably 79, maybe 80% of fans living right now will tell you Michael Jordan's the best basketball player ever. Mm-hmm. I think you would get a few Larrys, you get a few Magics, a few Kareems, a few Wilts, and a few LeBrons. Right?
Right, it's spread out.
For the most part, it is predominantly Jordan.
Right.
I do not believe you could label anybody in the NFL that. I find that sport, and I know hockey is obviously doesn't have as many bodies, but I find the NFL, because of the amount of people on the field at one time.
When
the
differing positions, you have offense and defense.
I find it impossible to truly label one specific person the best football player of all time. I just don't think that's possible.
Wayne Gretzky is the only athlete who is the unanimous GOAT in his sport. Like every other one's debatable. There's no debate in hockey. The only guy who might end up coming close, but right now there's still a differing opinion, is Tiger Woods in golf. But he hasn't topped Jack's number.
You still get a lot of people with Jack. Yeah.
So some you can argue you think Tiger Woods is the greatest of all time, but he's got to get to 18 first, right? So the only sport that you can point to, there's no debate. Like if anybody tries to argue there's a better hockey player than Wayne Gretzky, you just laugh at him.
Is there anybody who's second? Who would be second in the conversation?
Gordie Howe.
That's where Lemieux comes in.
Right? I mean, you've had great players, but
nobody's sniffing.
Like just for example, because I wanted to pull the listeners.
Did you get the stat, his all-time assists? Yeah.
So here are the all-time NHL leaders, okay, in goals, points, and assists. Ready for this? Wayne Gretzky has 894 goals in his career. The next closest is Gordie Howe with 801. So he's a 93-goal lead on one of the other all-time greats. Jaromir Jagr.
Is that about a season's worth?
No.
The 93 difference?
About a season and a half, depending on what era you played in. But Gordie Howe played
for like
26 seasons.
Yeah. Jaromir Jagr was in the NHL for like four decades. He's number three on this list with 766. The closest active player to him is Ovechkin, who has 658. So he's about 240 behind. So for Ovechkin to get there, he's 34 years old. He would have to average about 50 goals per season all the way until he's 39 years old. Just to get to where Gretzky is, which ain't going to happen. So he leads in goals. The points is the craziest one. Wayne Gretzky is the all-time points leader in NHL history with 2,857. Second place is Jagr with 1,921. Hmm. He has almost 1,000 more points than the number two guy on this list. And an assist, I mean, it's the same thing.
He's just statistically, I knew he's a monster.
700 assists more than number two.
Yeah.
700 more.
Somebody, Jesse G, says Serena Williams is the GOAT.
Okay, yeah.
We got another listener saying, give me a second, dismissing Cristiano Ronaldo as the GOAT. Have we seen what he's done for soccer?
Is he widely considered the greatest soccer player of all time?
I thought him and Messi were an argument.
Like, we're talking all time, maybe right now.
We're talking ever. I mean, now there are going to be people that tell you, Pele. Remember that guy?
Remember him?
You remember that one time, that guy?
Remember Pele? He was pretty good. Yeah, like, Gretzky is the only one that's universal to his sport.
Okay,
like,
so.
Of all time.
Now, well, but you got some athletes that are pretty damn close. Again, Jordan's probably at an 80% clip, I would guess.
Yeah.
You don't think it's that high?
No, I think you'll get people from back in the day that you'll get Bill Russell arguments, Wilt Chamberlain arguments, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar arguments, LeBron arguments from the newer age.
I just don't know how big those percentages are really, though, because of how transcendent. I mean, he came at the perfect time. He came right as television was kind of exploding.
Sure.
He came when there wasn't still as many channels as obviously we have now. He was really the first big, and I'm talking monster, commercialized pro athlete we ever had. Like, he was an amazing player. There's no doubt, so don't misconstrue what I'm about to say. But he also benefited greatly at just the right era. He just came along at the right time.
Sure, there's no doubt about that. The interesting part, too, about Jordan, though, is now it's been, what, 21 years since he retired? So, I mean, you have, right?
Well, the first time, or the second time, but the third time, remember, in the Wizards.
Right,
okay,
it was, yeah, that doesn't count.
But yeah, he retired in 98.
From being Michael Jordan, because he was good, but not Michael Jordan when he came back and played. So you have a big gap of younger people who never watched him play. Like, I mean, you got juniors in college that never saw, they were born when he retired.
Right.
Anybody under that age. That's the thing about Gretzky is, there's no debate. Like, there's not like, well, I think Ovechkin's better than him. You just laugh at that comment because it's not true. Like, whereas younger people, you can argue, LeBron, maybe. You can make cases.
Well, I think there's a lot of
arguments
for different players. Sure. I don't think it has to just be LeBron. I think you can make cases for Magic, who got to 9 championships. I think you can make case for Kareem, 6 championship rings, the all-time leading scorer, 6 league MVPs. Jordan doesn't have 2 of those. So, there's arguments to be made for different players for different reasons. It's not really for me to get into why people feel how they feel about athletes. I was just more so saying the GOAT of the GOAT is that Wayne. And then my last thing I would ask you, and then I guess we can move on from this because you guys are all seem like you're agreeing that it's Wayne.
I would say it's probably Wayne Gretzky.
Who is the greatest modern era? Don't give me some 1950s crap. Modern era goalkeeper in NHL history. Your life is on the line. Yeah, who's the best goalie?
Probably Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
Okay, Patrick.
How many cups did he end up winning?
Didn't he only have 1 or 2?
Yeah.
I remember the Red Wings beat him a few different times in the playoffs.
I think he had 3. Didn't he have 2 with the Canadians and 1 with the Avalanche?
I was forgetting about the Canadian era.
Yeah, he had 1 in Montreal.
Okay, so let's take Patrick Waugh. An amazing goalie. If you started a team of absolute crap, the worst of the worst, and you put Patrick Waugh out there for the team versus putting Wayne Gretzky and having a crappy goalie, who has a bigger impact?
Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm asking that as a non-hockey guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be Wayne Gretzky.
All right. I was curious where the goalie value was.
Well, last night it was high because Binnington outplayed Rask, which hadn't happened many times throughout the series, but he was incredible. So you could have an individual game where goaltenders can win it for you and you can be outplayed and get a couple of bounces here and there. Like St. Louis, I think, had 2 goals on their first 5 or 6 shots. Yeah. And Boston had no goals on their first 15, 16, 17, 18 shots. So in individual games, you can lean on like a starting pitcher to dominate you. But you're talking about the difference of a pitcher or a guy who's in the lineup every day hitting 400 with 50 home runs and 200 RBIs.
But we also know, and baseball is one we didn't mention either, and we got to go here because we got the Daily Ticker.
There's no unanimous GOAT in baseball.
Exactly.
Either.
You can't do it in baseball because of how valuable pitching, closers, obviously everyday players, etc. But the GOAT's GOAT.
The GOAT's GOAT, Wayne Gretzky. He is the great one.
He is the great one.
I mean, that's his name.
No doubt.
He's the great one.
We're the same height, too.
And he's got a hot daughter.
He does.
He's got a hot daughter.
Hot
wife, too.
Talk about feeling emotions.
Yeah.
Dude, I stood, I don't know, within 13 feet of him. You just look over, you're like, that's Wayne Gretzky.
Were you tempted to go touch him? Rub off on his greatness?
No, that's weird.
Just get a little finger on the shoulder.
Can I rub you like a rabbit's foot?
Can I touch your head, man? Can I get a little good luck out of this thing?
All right, we got a lot more to get to. Game 6 tonight in Golden State. Will the Raptors close it out or Golden State extend the series? We'll talk with Vern Glenn, the CBS affiliate down in the Bay Area, next for the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time. We got Game 6 down in the Bay Area. The Warriors won in Toronto, and now they play without Kevin Durant for certain the rest of the way. We'll see if they can extend and have a Game 7 or if the Raptors put it away. And we're joined now by Vern Glenn, father, son, brother, husband, Emmy Award-winning TV sports OG since 85, and he likes red wine and hip-hop. I just read his Twitter bio. He joins us now. For the CBS affiliate down in the Bay Area. Vern, thanks for the time, man. Vern Glenn here, our guest. I'll start with this one. What have you made of all the conversations about blaming the Warriors for what transpired with Kevin Durant?
So I think it's ridiculous. But as a fan, I can understand having to take one way or the other. We're just so in the world of making the hot take, you know, that we just lose sight of what's really going on. Are the Warriors to blame? No. You know why? Because I know what happens in those meetings when the decisions are made. I know that Kerr was in on it. I know that KD was in on it. I know KD's peeps were in on it. I know the Warriors medical staff was in on it. I know KD's own medical people were in on it. The owner was in on it. Training said that everybody was in on it when the green light was made. And knowing KD the way I do, he's a guy that just wants to play. Did he weigh in on forcing a decision one way or the other? I'm sure he weighed heavily, thinking, hey, I can go out, I can do this. And he did for 12 minutes into the second quarter. I mean, it was like he never left, hitting those three-pointers and playing great defense at the other end. But playing that game, there's an assumption. And when it happened. There's the old saying that you know, when change is made, sometimes you can – kind of get ready for it. Like the Warriors are moving to Chase Center next year. This is the last game at Oracle Arena tonight. Okay, we know that. We get that tested. When change is sudden, people just can't process it. And that's exactly what has happened. That's been the fallout, one way or the other, from this injury.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. I like that. And now it's funny because this story has dominated the headlines for 48 hours. It'll happen when you have a guy who's considered the best in the league to go down and maybe missing a year and he's going into free agency. So I understand there's been a lot of hoopla, but it's kind of funny. Like, I feel like some people have forgotten, not down there, but around the rest of the country. Like, the series is still on. Like, there's a Game 6 tonight back at Oracle. How does Golden State respond from this? I know they were able to hold on and come up with big shots there down the stretch in Game 5. How do they move on emotionally from knowing KD and going through all of that baggage over the last 2 days and go out and get a win tonight?
Well, here's the rhetoric that we got at Media Day yesterday at Oracle. They're in pretty much full on. He's gone. We got to be in full lockdown mode. Can we win one game? Can we win one at home against a team that's beating us three straight times on this floor? And that's pretty much the question that they have to ask of themselves. KD is gone. He is not walking through that door. And so they have to figure out, all right, we're going to get production from the big three. Curry and Clay and Draymond Green. So where are the other 40 points going to come from? Is it going to come from Cousins? Is it going to come from Cook? Is it going to come from Iguodala? Is it going to come from Sean Livingston? Maybe they need all four of them. Somebody's going to have a breakout game, a hot hand, or collectively those four guys off the bench are going to have to come in and really do something in order to make the difference. But here's the other question. And Brandon, I know you're driving. I don't know where Andy is. I guess he's riding shotgun. But anyway, the question is this. At full strength, the Toronto Raptors are a better team than the Golden State Warriors right now. You could factor in the injuries, whatever. I mean, that is just pure fact. You look at it on paper, you look at it, you go, there is no way that Toronto should lose this game tonight. Now, that said, still got to roll the ball out there and play. And the Warriors are going to come in and ride all the emotion of the last game ever at Oracle in that 47-year history of that building. I've been walking in that building for the last almost 30, save for the 1996 year when the place was renovated. So you can ride some of that emotion coming in, but you still got to get off to a good start. You still got to play shutdown defense. You still got to cut down on the turnovers. My gosh, I mean, the Warriors have turnovers like people go through Kleenex. They got to clean that up because the Raptors are too good of a team to make those kind of mistakes to be able to come back and get out of it.
Yeah. Reminded me, Vern, of the series when Cleveland came back from 3-1 and LeBron and Kyrie and Golden State both had 41 points and they extended that series. And that's kind of what you need from Clay and Steph. They got to go out there and give everything they possibly have. We're talking with Vern Glenn of KPIX, the CBS affiliate down there in the Bay, game 6 tonight. I did want to ask you that too. Side game note, you mentioned how many years Oracle's been there. They're going to San Francisco, the other side of the Bay, new arena.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
It's going to be expensive. I am wondering, how has this been sitting, though, with the diehards? The diehard Warrior fans that I remember watching a team celebrate winning a 1-8 matchup against Dallas. The diehards that show up even when the team's not good and it's one of the loudest arenas in the NBA. How have those fans, you think, been handling that they're not going to be there next year?
Well, the fan base in Oakland, obviously, it's a kick in the gut kind of feel. Here's another team that's going to leave us and go to San Francisco. Here's another spotlight on Oakland being the redheaded stepkid when you compare the two cities together. But having said that, San Francisco was the original home of the Warriors when they moved out west from Philadelphia. That's where they played, and then they moved into that building and became the Golden State Warriors in the late 1960s. So there it is. But again, if you're Oakland proud, you feel bad. They're going to wear their uniforms tonight that says the town. It's got the logo of Oakland on it, which is an oak tree. So they're going to have that. It'll be all nostalgic, and I do feel bad for Oakland, but it's like the 49ers moving from San Francisco to Santa Clara.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a completely different fan base. The regular schmo that goes to these Warrior games, and they're not cheap tickets, granted. We're going to have to pay even more just for the rights to buy season tickets. And that just prices out everyone, just pretty much like the housing prices out everybody from San Francisco.
Yeah, that's so true. And we got a game 6 tonight. We're excited to watch it. How do you think it plays out? Does Golden State get a win and force a game 7?
I think Golden State would have to play their absolute best game, get a break one way or the other to win this game. If by any chance they do win this game, all the pressure, all of it, is on Toronto, because that's the team that was up 6 with 3 minutes to play in game 5.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Vern Glenn, KPIX, the CBS affiliate down there in the Bay, getting ready for game 6, Golden State and Toronto. Vern, really good stuff, man. We appreciate the time jumping on with us up here. Enjoy tonight, the last night at Oracle and an NBA Finals game 6.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I got to get into Rip City sometime. I got to hang around 23rd Street and in and out of those trendy bars.
Absolutely, man. You come up here, you let us know. You're more than welcome to jump in here, and we can talk some Bay Area sports and just talk anything, really.
I love it. I love Portland. Yep. Portland's a great town.
Yeah, we love it, too. Thanks so much, Vern.
All righty.
All right, there we go. Vern Glenn of KPIX here joining us on the ticker. Game 6 tonight. Last night in Oracle.
It is the last game.
Wouldn't that be weird if the Moda Center had its last game and they were moving to, like, Hillsboro?
Moving to, yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird?
Because at least when the Coliseum, when you were moving to the Moda Center, it's right next door. You don't have to drive to Salem to go down to a game. I know it's not quite that same level of difference, but it is always unfortunate when, like, you understand why teams do this. They're going to make more money. It's right down. It's in a perfect location. I understand completely financially why they're doing it. But the I think culture around the team changes when this happens. Look no further. I think a prime example of this is the Yankees. Like, old Yankee Stadium and what it represented and what that building had seen over the years. And it just, the ballpark had a lot of character to it. And then you build this brand new place. It's real corporate, kind of a cookie cutter place where they try to duplicate it a little bit. But It's not the same. It's not the same atmosphere, and they price a lot of fans out. San Francisco 49ers are a good example of this, too. When you move down to Santa Clara, a new stadium, a lot of people can't afford to go. So Oakland and the Raiders, they're unfortunately going through, or excuse me, the Warriors, they're going through the same thing, and it's going to be a much different vibe around the team going forward.
Well, let's talk about Game 6, and then Jason Lockenfora of CBS and Radio.com is going to join us at 1 to talk some NFL. We'll get to those things next on The Fan. All right, we got Game 6 tonight in the Bay. Jason Lockenfora, Radio.com, NFL insider, CBS Sports. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. No real one thing to get into with him, just probably a bunch of millions of different little things.
All sorts of NFL stuff going on.
A lot of things going on this offseason. Game 6 tonight. Are they going to close this, or are we going to get a Game 7? The greatest two words in all of sports.
Damn right. That'd be solid to go Game 7 followed by a Game 7 the week after.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And nice little 2 week of sports.
And to maybe make up a little bit for, I guess, my lack of happiness for St. Louis, I would say it would be cool to see two cities in the core four win their first championships.
Absolutely. That would be really cool. I would love the underdog story of Toronto and St. Louis both finding a way to win. I'm really nervous for Toronto, though.
Oh, I think they're going to win.
You think they're going to win?
I do.
You're staying confident they can pull it off?
Well, I just kept thinking about, and Vern kind of touched on this, I just keep thinking about what it takes for them to win. Now that Kevin Durant is absolutely not coming back.
Yes.
And I'm not telling you that you know, stopped Toronto in any way. They were hanging with him when he was playing and hitting his shots. But now that is officially out of your mind. You don't have to think about that. And it didn't stop them because they were up 3-1, but still going into each game, you're like, is he playing? Should we worry about who's matching up with who? Now that's out of there. And now it's the team that we saw that couldn't beat them. And I think you're going to need just mammoth performances out of Steph and Clay. Like, I don't think Steph giving you 23 and Clay giving you 25 and Draymond giving you 16 with a triple-double, I don't think that's beating them. You need huge performances from those two guys, and they need to shoot the ball as well as they did the last game for you to have a chance for a Game 7. I just think Toronto's too locked in. I know that they probably feel like they had an opportunity they missed out on, but I don't think these things are bothering them. They don't stick with this team. So, yeah, I do like Toronto tonight to close it out.
A fun thing to look up would be, when was the last time Golden State lost 3 straight home games? Because I'd be willing to bet it does not happen in the Steve Kerr
Cleveland series. They lost 2.
They lost 2.
Give me a minute.
I know they lost, what would it have been, Game 5 and Game 7 at home.
Yeah, against Cleveland.
Yeah. But not 3 straight. So it's to me is wild to think. It's been that long.
I don't expect Toronto to be as bad shooting threes as they were in Game 5.
They were horrible, and they were right there
with
a chance to win.
Weren't they like 3 for 19 at one point in the third quarter?
Yeah, they couldn't
buy
a bucket the whole game.
I think after...
And a lot of those were open.
The second or third quarter... Nurse was being interviewed by Burke, and he was basically, yeah, you know, we're shooting like 20%. That's not going to help. And I think right as he said that, Danny Green shot an air ball.
Yeah.
They were like 5 of 25 at one point. So
and they ended up going 8 of 32, and I want to say 2 of those were Kawhi Leonard in the last couple of minutes of the game.
Yeah, Kawhi had 2 or 3 in the fourth quarter trying to finish it off.
And then you clanked a couple out for that, too. I understand where Toronto has been in control throughout this series. There's always a weird concern over just the mental strength of a team when you felt like you had it. Now, to be fair, we just had an example go the opposite direction in hockey. Like, St. Louis went home in a Game 6, and that was, here's your chance, win the cup in front of your home crowd, and they got killed. It was 5-1. They were never really in that game. They got outplayed from start to finish. And a lot of people, like, how do you bounce back from that mentally going on the road? And they had no problem with it. And it was Bennington playing great, and they got a couple of goals, and then the rest was history. So maybe Toronto's able to do the same thing, and they don't dwell on blowing a 6-point lead in the final 3 minutes when they had a chance to close this series out at home. There's just always a concern about Golden State being at Oracle, Curry and Thompson going off. Another concern I would have if I'm Toronto is the way Boogie Cousins was able to come in and have an impact. He's been really hit or really miss in this series, but when he's hit, he's had a big impact on some of their wins, and he's coming off a really big performance, and you had 2 days off in between a game again, so you wouldn't expect there to be any fatigue from a guy like that.
To answer your question earlier, they did it this year.
They lost 3 straight home games?
They lost to the Lakers on Christmas.
Okay.
Portland beat them 2 days later, maybe that Damian Lillard shot. And then the next home game was January 3rd after a couple road games. They lost to Houston in overtime.
Yeah, they were uncharacteristically. I can't say that.
Uncharacteristically.
Thank you. Bad at home this season.
They are. And here's my thing. I'm not, no disrespect to Golden State, because we know they're a championship mental tough team. And I'm not completely saying they're going to get blown out. I think that'd be crazy too. I think they're going down. They're going to go swinging. I just, with the information we have, I can't come to any other conclusion. Now that I know for certain Kevin Durant is not in this conversation, now that we know Sean Livingston hasn't played great, that DeMarcus Cousins hasn't put two back-to-back games together in this series yet.
Bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
And he just had a good one, so does that mean he's probably due for another bad one? Yeah, maybe. Vern's point is right. Where's the scoring coming? Is Quinn Cook going to come and have 25 points tonight? Probably not. Is Sean Livingston going to go off? Probably not. Iggy? I don't know where all their points are coming from, whereas as much as it was painful to lose that game for Toronto, they've adopted the Kawhi mentality, man. They're just going to go, oh, we lost. Yeah. We had a chance. We lost. Time to go win the next one.
No, Golden State has to crank things up defensively, get deflections. I think you'll see them overplaying. Klay and Steph will be overplaying in the passing lanes, trying to see if they can get deflections and get out on the break. Because if they have to go set, you know, predominantly.
That's why Toronto likes to push the tempo. Put them in bad positions, get them to foul, get guys confused, have mismatch advantages.
I think that can apply both ways, too. Draymond has to play like that. That adds an offensive element for Golden State that they don't have when you're just simply going in the half court, running Curry and Thompson off of screens. When he pushes and he's either able to score or find somebody because the defense can't set up, that could be an offensive impact for Golden State as well. What you will need, the two main things for Toronto. One, as we've all noted, they need to shoot the ball better. It's a closeout game. You can't go 25% from three because a lot of those looks are going to be open with how much attention they pay to Kawhi Leonard. So it's not like all six of Kyle Lowry's threes were contested shots. The last one was. But he's going to have open looks. You got to knock him down. They're backing off Siakam a little bit and daring him to shoot at this point. He's got to knock a few down. And Danny Green has had open looks the entire series. And he's kind of had this Boogie Cousins performance where it's been good or bad. And he was not good in game five. So you need to get consistent shooting. And I think you just need solid production again from your role players, because you're both right. I mean, they had a chance to win that game and they didn't shoot lights out. And you didn't necessarily get an all-world performance from Kawhi Leonard outside of the fourth quarter when he took over for whatever it was, 10 straight points. But Siakam only had 12. Gasol was a little bit better. Lowry didn't shoot the ball efficiently from three. So you need other guys to step up. I don't think Kawhi Leonard's going to be able to do it on his own for Toronto to win.
I saw, you know, Nick Nurse in the postgame following the timeout blunder and then blowing that lead at home and having a chance to celebrate with their fans. You know, he defended the move. I didn't see a quote, and text police can tell me if I'm wrong. I didn't see a quote that really said, you know, I made a mistake tonight. It was more like, you know, this is why I did it. I'd be willing to bet he does not do that again.
No.
Despite the, well, I don't want to lose him comment that he made, I'd be willing to wager that if it's 3 minutes and some change and Kawhi is just roasting him for the win and they're up six or seven, I'd be willing to bet he's not going to be one to stop that run. It's going to have to be Golden State.
Yeah, I don't care if you lose one timeout, two timeouts. Doesn't matter, man. Do not halt the momentum of your own team. That is the opposite of what you're supposed to do with the timeout.
I think that's my fear. That's the emotional tie-in here, is if Toronto loses tonight and there's game seven, you know Golden State's going to feel great about their chances, especially going on the road and just having that kind of swagger to go and win a title on the road. And it's going to be looming over them that Nick Nurse probably cost them the championship.
I feel Golden State tonight, which is strange with dynasties, but I kind of feel like they're playing with house money at this point.
Oh, I'm with you 100% there.
You know, there's a lot of hot take culture that'll say they're done and they're never going to win another one. And Paul Pierce will run his yapper if they lose this. And people will say they'll never find a way back to a championship. They've been saying that about Brady for a decade. And so far, he's been proving everybody wrong. As much as I would love to see it. But there is something about what they've been through, Durant going down, how emotionally spent they are probably throughout this entire process. Like, if they lose tonight, a lot of people expect them to lose tonight. As we just talked about, most people view Toronto as the better team. Golden State's without their best player at this point. And if you're Golden State, maybe that's a freeing feeling at home. Say, hey, man, we got nothing to lose. Let's let it fly.
We got a lot more to get to in hour number two. Kyrie Irving does some unusual things yesterday. The latest on Anthony Davis trade rumors from Woj. We've got some NFL to discuss as well, but we're going to start the second hour with Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for radio.com, also CBS Sports. Jason Lockenfora to start hour two next on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.